Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
I shouldn't have opened the door about the whole gaming thing and hobby because everybody's sending their stupid recommendations. Our guy Cody, who used to work here. Yeah. I mean, seriously.
Let's see what you do.
Become a professional golden tee player.
It's not your thing. Is that even, I mean, people still do golden tee? Is golden tee still big, like in the bars? Is it? But yeah. Mar, you're shaking your head?
I love playing golden tee. Anytime I go to a dive bar that has it, I always dono a couple dollars.
Right.
Every time.
Dude, you know what? My son's buddy was over at the house yesterday. And he told me, he's kind of pondering life and trying to figure out, he's carving out his life, what he wants to do. He's in sales and just trying to think of, is this what he really wants to do? Like, he was telling me that guys his age, which is basically your age, right? 25 years old.
25.
He says young people, they don't like to drink like they used to. Like, drinking's, they like to drink and have a good time, but not like they used to. It's about wellness. It's about being healthy. It's a whole thing now.
Yeah, I'm way more into the pregame. Like, I'm all about, having, a couple pops and then kind of just shutting it down and then not really going super crazy.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, it's not worth it, man. You don't want to sacrifice a day for a night. I mean, every now and then you got to let loose and have a good time, but it's, I agree. Few and far between for people our age.
He said people are into like the red light therapies and the sauna and the cold plunge and just all the wellness stuff. It's like huge with young people now.
Cold plunges are over right now. They're big time. I'm just not a member of a gym that has one, but I went to Lifetime a couple weeks ago, and that's basically all I did. I hit the weights for like 30 minutes, and then I did the chirotherapy, the massage chairs, the cold plunge, the sauna, the steam room.
Yeah, people are into all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's big time over right now.
When you say over, you mean you're making me think it's over.
That's a Hulkster term right there, brother. Like, he was running hot in L.A. back in the day, brother.
Right.
And he was big time over.
So you mean... Okay.
It means popular.
It's popular.
In wrestling.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah, big push.
Oh, that's a wrestling term?
Yeah. If you put someone over. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not a WWE fan, but I just like using their slang. They got great slang over there.
I don't know why. Maybe it was on my phone. I guess it was. I was just seeing a bunch of Jake Paul stuff. Dude, or no, Logan Paul stuff. Sorry, I get those donks mixed up. Logan Paul, the stuff he's doing in the ring is ridiculous. Is he still an active wrestler with the WWE or whatever it's called?
Yeah, last I saw, like, a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, he like basically stole the show at WrestleMania. It blew up on TikTok.
He did stuff where he jumped on the rope and then backflipped off of it onto the table.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, he's a complete natural is what I'm reading about him.
Dude, he's like the greatest. He looks like the most acrobatic wrestler ever.
Yeah, I mean,
you say what you want about his boxing.
Yeah, both those guys are just superstars. They're just the ultimate entertainers. Like, Jake Paul is actually fighting on Saturday against Julio Cesar Chavez's son. It's crazy. It's just like he's fighting big time names, and it's just wild.
Right, but
he used to be a champion.
But Jake Paul's pretty much, it's over on the boxing front, right? People have kind of seen the limits.
No,
like, he's an okay
boxer,
but they've seen the limits of it.
Still going at it. I saw him say he makes about $40 million a year boxing.
Right, it's crazy.
So. Of course, he's going to continue.
Yeah.
He's just got to fight Tommy Fury. That's really the only big fight that people care about, because that was the only fight that gave him a good test, and he ended up losing that fight. And it kind of now looks like he's ducking him. Like, he's fighting all these 40-year-old dudes, UFC fighters. It's like, stop ducking Tommy Fury.
Well, maybe he's trying to build up just some more enthusiasm for it. What's the deal with John Jones? John Jones is ducking this one guy?
Yeah, John Jones. I mean,
why?
This is going to be a stain on his legacy if he actually doesn't come back and fight. I'm of the belief that he's just, kind of trying to build
leverage
for it. Yeah, he wants a little more money, and hopefully, I think, Tom Aspinall will take a fight here in the next couple months, and then if he wins, jump on the microphone.
Why would
and call
he be
Jones.
Scared of anyone? Why would John Jones be scared of anyone?
Well, this dude, Tom Aspinall, is legit. He's like in his young 30s. He's a heavyweight, but moves like a middleweight, super fast, great takedown defense. It is kind of like a nightmare matchup for John Jones. So
John
I can see
Jones
why.
Moved up to heavyweight to fight Stipe, who was known as one of the greatest heavyweights of all time, but he was also older. And John Jones now is 36, 37, and this guy's much bigger, a natural heavyweight. And so some people think he's ducking him. Others, like John Jones, he's got legal issues all the time.
Does he have a new legal issue?
Like he's convinced that John Jones is coming back. I'm not. Like some you guys walk away. He claims he's not into it. Like some of these guys, as they get older, they're only interested in fighting like names. And to him, that's just some other young guy. He's beaten young guys before.
But John Jones is doing a bit. You can just tell because like his Twitter profile for the last couple months is literally just a duck with a UFC championship around it. And he's always just, it just feels like he's leaning into it and just, you know, fueling the fire.
How old is he now?
37. But it's like when he fought Daniel Cormier way back in the day, Daniel Cormier was 38. When he fought Stipe just a couple months ago, he was 40. So it's like, you know.
Oh, no, you could definitely still do it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely has the skill.
Right.
Yeah, but if he doesn't have the fire, like he claims he doesn't have the fire, like he didn't feel like working out. I could see him becoming a big fat guy.
Drab, did you see that they're saying Antonio Brown may be leaving the country? Like there's been some insinuation. Have you read that?
I thought he wasn't here. I thought he had already left because they're looking for him for the attempted murder.
For this attempted murder thing. Is Antonio Brown on the lam, officially on the lam? That's not going to work. It's freaking Antonio Brown.
I don't know, but I'm loving this, EB's. Did you see this segment? What's going on with John Jones? Antonio Brown, Logan Paul. You're bringing up good stuff here.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'm just telling you what's in my world. What I've come across.
There was something that happened in Miami like a few weeks ago.
Right.
Maybe
there was
more
some,
than that.
Was there some like shooting outside a club or something?
AB discharged a weapon.
Right.
And I think they're trying to get him for attempted murder.
Right.
Yes.
But he's
wanted in Miami-Dade County.
Right. I understand.
I mean, that's the least shocking thing ever.
But Antonio Brown's not going to last 2 days on the... Like, he's world famous. Like, they're going to... He's going to get ID'd and get pulled back into the country.
Well, I think he's doing Twitter videos and stuff. I don't know if it's, like, that big of a deal yet. I don't know.
All right.
I don't think it's, like, you know, FBI's 10 most wanted.
Yeah, I don't think so either. But, I mean, if he's legitimately being charged and he's legitimately dodging it, it's a poor plan.
According to this story, authorities confirmed he's no longer in the United States, with most signs pointing to Dubai or somewhere in the Middle East.
And so they're just going to wait him out until
Brown
he comes back?
Took to Twitter, and his message was, I'm out of the country, ain't no more child support, tell your mama get a job. That's his message.
That has nothing to do with the attempted murder charge. That's a totally
But that's his response.
I'll be honest.
He's not a normal dude.
I know he has financial troubles, but if I had money and attempted murder charges, I might probably leave the country too.
Yeah,
what's the worst that can happen? They bring you back.
Right. Well, I think that's eventually going to happen. Now, by the way, I don't think he's going to be convicted of attempted murder. Like, this will be, somehow they'll figure it out. Maybe some assault.
I don't know the facts of the case.
Yeah, but
what if he tried to commit a murder?
I doubt it. I don't.
Why would you doubt it? You doubt that?
I doubt that he tried to actually shoot someone in, like, to kill them. I do doubt that. He may have fired a gun off to scare someone, but I doubt he tried to kill somebody. I do doubt it. Personally, I doubt it. Maybe he did. My guess is it'll be lesser charge. Probably have to do something, but I don't think they're going to ever convict him of attempted murder. That'd be my guess.
I don't know. I watched you watched the Gilbert Arenas thing about Javaris Crittenden.
Yeah, that was a little bit different.
Javaris Crittenden shot somebody, killed somebody.
I understand. I think that's more of an outlier. I just don't think Antonio Brown pulled a gun out to literally try to kill someone.
I don't know the facts of the case, but why couldn't you see him being angry and firing a gun?
It just would be my guess. I'm just going to go with my instinct. My instinct is he's not going to be convicted for attempted murder. That would be my guess. I'd actually probably be willing to bet a decent amount of money on it if you wanted to.
I'd have to read up on it a little more. I mean, they're charging him.
I understood.
He was involved in a shooting.
My guess is he's not going to be convicted of attempted murder. I'm willing to bet on it.
Convicted is different, but do you...
Knowing nothing. My guess is not.
He claimed he was jumped, right? mm-hmm. by people who tried to steal his jewelry.
Right.
But they're arresting him.
Yeah. Listen, they can arrest whoever they want. I'm telling you, I don't think he's going to be convicted for attempted murder.
They found two shell casings.
I'm sure he fired the gun. Okay. I'm sure he fired the gun. I don't doubt it. I don't think they're going to charge him with attempted murder. But, you know, I'm just talking. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
Interesting that he's in Dubai.
All right. I know we're going to have Barry Svrluga. At some point, I want to go through this Kevin Sheehan audio. What is Kevin doing now with the uniform situation, Drab? He's adamant that they're going to have some sort of big uniform change. Is that the deal?
He says they're going to bring back a version of their old uniforms, reimagined for the modern era. And I think some people are taking the leap. Remember, there were pictures with the spear?
Yeah.
Here's Kevin Sheehan on his show talking about it.
I just know, and I'll, again, what I said last October, fall, early fall, I have it on good authority that they are going to go back to something resembling the old uniforms, with sans the, you know, more recent Redskins logo, right? So, and it would be a rollout with alt opportunities in 2025. How many alt opportunities? Don't they get 3 or 4 each year? Is that right, Max?
Something like that.
Yeah. So in these alt opportunities this year, I would imagine that at least in a couple of them, we're going to have a uniform that looks like the old uniform. All right. You know, I can't describe what the logo will be on the helmet. I'm going to guess that it's the W.
Okay. I buy that. I could see them having the somehow incorporating the spear. I could see it. I don't think they're going to have the Native American and the headdress or whatever. I think those days are probably done. But yeah, sure. I see that.
But if it's just a W.
Well, no, but
Some people get fired up.
I don't actually mind the W. Are they going to get rid of the logo with the years? Like, you know, the round logo with the W and the 19, whatever the year is. You remember that? Remember when they screwed up the logo at first? Then they had to redo it.
Yeah, they redid that.
Yeah,
the patch.
But is that here to stay? Or are the Harris people going to get rid of that?
I don't know. But what Sheehan's saying is they're going to bring back is one of their alternates, right? So they get 4 uniforms this year. They're going to have their 2 main ones, the black one, and then a throwback. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he's saying the throwback is going to be your old school classic, like Washington football team Redskins uniform, but with the W on the helmet for this season. And then he says the plan is to eventually return to something resembling the old uniforms in the 2026 season,
mm-hmm.
sticking with the current logo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of the old school burgundy and gold.
So they're going to get rid of the black unis altogether? Is that what he's suggesting?
He didn't say anything about the black unis, but what he's saying is they're going to test it pretty much this year. They're going to dip their toe into the old uniforms with their alternate, and then the next season, that's going to be their full-time uniforms again.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not sufficient. Like, honestly, they resemble the old ones kind of to me.
I mean,
they're close enough to the colors-ish.
Ish. But that's not, like, you're looking at we have Jonathan Allen.
It's a little
jersey
off,
in studio. It does not look like what RG3 was wearing in 2012.
The maroon's a little off, but, or burgundy, whatever, maroon.
It's completely different, Eric.
I don't know. I guess I'm not that sophisticated. To me, they're basically still wearing burgundy and gold. You know, they have different letters. You know,
look, people are gonna love it. Here's the thing, and we you know, had a hypothetical yesterday where we were saying, would you want the name back, but you have to deal with Snyder? The vast majority of people are like, no, Snyder's, that's the absolute worst option.
It's worth sacrificing
everything,
the name for it.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But they're going to probably walk this line to get as close to that as possible because fans get fired up for it.
But I'll say this,
so they're gonna,
don't abandon the black. I didn't like the black at first. Now I like the black.
So
I've embraced the black.
They're basically saying we'll bring back the uniform from a decade ago, all right, that you were used to, not this new stuff. We'll bring back the old uniform, and then you're just going to have the W on the helmet.
What do you not like? Hey, Drab, when you look at that uniform, what looks so markedly different other than the burgundy's a little off, obviously? Is it like the dots on the numbers?
No, but
like,
it's the coloring. Here, look at this. This is like the old coloring.
Yeah.
The coloring is different. That's not very burgundy.
Yeah, okay. So, okay.
Eric,
there's no yellow on, yeah. on there. There's no yellow.
Okay. Instead of the outline,
I guess it doesn't move me. So
I know
I'm
it doesn't move you. Clearly, you have no artistic eye. But think of your Daryl Green jersey.
I know it's a little different. It's a little different, but I don't think it's like it's not like it's green.
It's completely different.
No, there's no yellow stripes.
I see no yellow on the swoosh or whatever's up on the corner of the top of the sleeve. I don't know. I guess I don't know.
No, but it's not as prominent. Yeah. Like the old jerseys, even if they just wore a white jersey,
yeah.
The burgundy numbers were outlined by yellow.
Okay.
Here you have, it's not even really burgundy, and it's outlined by black.
Okay. All right. So yeah, outline it in yellow. Put a little
and then a
put
stripe
a yellow
of yellow
on the sleeve.
Right.
These are like such minute details.
Yeah,
the
fans
are
into
it. People get that fired up about it.
Because it's nostalgia. They want to go back to the old name, which they're not going to get. But if they can give them the jersey, then you're pacifying the fans to an extent. And also kind of teasing them.
Right. Right. Okay.
And it just looks better. Also, you have the pants, too, with the piping down the side of the burgundy and gold stripes.
Right. What do they have right now? I don't even know. On the pants. Like, what is...
It just matches this.
Yeah, it's...
Matches this.
I don't pay that much attention to the uniforms.
I mean, you're just the wrong person to have this conversation with.
It just...
I totally am.
They're going to go back to what it was, potentially, if Sheehan's right, versus kind of this newer look, which isn't the tradition. They're leaning in towards tradition.
I understand the concept. I just don't see how it's horrifically off. I mean, I think the coloring is different for sure.
There's no gold. Do you see any gold there?
Yes, on the top of
the tiny little swoosh.
I see a sliver on the swoosh.
Okay, that's not enough.
All right, so put a yellow stripe in there. Put a yellow stripe on the pants, and everybody will be happy.
A little bit.
Yeah, cool.
It'll pacify them to an extent.
I'm fine. Just don't get rid of the black. I'm actually pro-black now.
All right, coming up next, Barry Zwalluga from the Washington Post. We'll talk about the Wizards draft. We can get into this. And the Washington Nationals, who've been struggling, although they got a win last night. Keep it here. Barry Zwalluga next here on the Junkies.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. You miss any part of the show, remember you can always grab the podcast. Just put in Sports Junkies wherever you download your podcasts and you'll get the podcast that way. Very simple. All right, Barry Zwalluga joins us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, Barry.
What's up, guys?
So last week was kind of big on this show because the Nationals had lost 11 in a row, and Mike Rizzo, of course, comes on every week, and you know sometimes he'll filibuster, he'll do that. What's kind of your take on where they are throughout this whole process? Because you've seen this rebuild, but now fans are getting impatient.
I think they should get impatient, and I think if you go back to what Mike Rizzo said to me, and I'm sure others in spring training, is like, you know, there's rebuild fatigue. Like they had a stated goal of playing meaningful games in September. Now, that doesn't mean that you're, you know, leading the wild card race or in really good position, but like you're not losing 11 in a row. You're not losing six in a row to the Marlins and the Rockies. And obviously baseball is different than a lot of other sports. Like on a given night, you can lose, but those are terrible teams. And you're supposed to be beyond being a terrible team. And it just felt like at that point, not only was the rebuild kind of in neutral, but it made you take stock of where they are as a franchise. And that is with what looks like a superstar in James Wood and a shortstop that is probably going to be an all-star for the second year in a row in CJ Abrams and a lefty in Mackenzie Gore that could be an ace and maybe not much else. And all of that came from the Soto trade, which mm-hmm. I think most people would acknowledge had to be done and is working out probably better than you could have hoped, even if Hassel doesn't amount to anything, and if Susanna doesn't come back from injury, like they've got three really good pieces. But what have they drafted and developed in the last decade? I mean, really nothing. And that's the concerning part more than the 11-game losing streak. The 11-game losing streak is a symptom, but it made you kind of take stock of like, well, wait a second. If we're supposed to be in the latter stages of the rebuild and the part where you're looking to add pieces to contend either later this season or the next offseason, like, why does it feel so bad at the major league level right now?
Yeah, but what's so sick about it, what I had a hard time, I know you were on vacation last week, and I saw some of those pictures. Looked like you had a great time. What I had trouble wrapping my brain around was just prior to that, they were like 30 and 32, right? They were like two games under 500, and are like, okay, they're going to be, they're putting something together here to at least be competitive. And then this seemingly came out of nowhere. Are they closer to the 30 and 32 team, or are they a team that's going to lose 12 out of 13 kind of repeatedly down the stretch?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. Like, why did that happen if really you're flirting with being a 500 team? And if you're flirting with being a 500 team in the way the league is structured now with the extra wild card, like, you're right on the edges of that wild card race. And you are, as Rizzo said, playing meaningful games in September. I kind of thought, Eric, that was who they are. Not that they're mm-hmm. good, but that on a given night, like, they're going to send out a respectable starting pitcher that's going to give them a chance. They're going to have a lineup that, while it has enormous holes, I'm looking at the catcher right now, it does have really scary pieces. And, I mean, James Wood is scary. He is scary good. And Abrams is playing great, and Lowe can run into one.
I think Garcia is legit. You don't think Garcia is
legit? He's a legit hitter. But I was really convinced that, you know, that was not that they were necessarily going to go 81-81, but that they weren't. You know, they're coming off back-to-back 71-91 seasons, and if you're going to play those meaningful games in September, you're going to have to take a step forward, even with last night's win. They're not on pace to match 71-91. Now they can recover from that. They can, you know, baseball's so weird. You can lose those 11 in a row and then win 8 out of 10. So I don't know, Eric. I mean, I think that's the question that's going to be answered in the next couple months. And, you know, it was a terrible time for me to be on vacation because it wasn't just that they lost those 11 in a row. It was, you know, Davey making his comments about it's never the coaches. Like, that's putting a little bit of gas on it. And if it's never the coaches, then what are the coaches there for? Like, his job and his coaching staff's job is to make sure that CJ Abrams is a better player in September than he was in April, that Luis Garcia doesn't boot that ball, that he gets in front of that ball on Sunday when the game was still a game against the Dodgers and doesn't allow it to lead to a big inning. I think the stuff that happened during the losing streak was the stuff that's supposed to be eliminated because the coaches are guiding these young players, some of whom are not as young as they were when this process started. Like, they can't really be called young players anymore. That's the frustrating stuff, that like the things that should be eliminated that led to those losses are still recurring. And that leads you to look at the manager and his staff.
Talking to Barry Zwarluga from the Washington Post. Is there any sense that a lot of the fans are frustrated about the spending and they blame the ownership? Is there any sense that there's any movement there and that there'll be movement in the future? Because a few years ago, people assumed there was going to be an ownership change, and now you don't hear that so much.
That's the other like question that looms over everything. And I think my finger pointing to this point has definitely gone toward ownership, and I think that's right because it starts there. And it's not, as we've talked about, just spending on major league payroll. It's investing in staff and scouting and development and analytics and everything that you need to run a major league front office. Like, are the learners emotionally, financially invested in this team being what it was under their stewardship, you know, not terribly long ago? That's a huge question. I don't think anybody knows the answer. I think they're dealing with a very depleted season ticket base. that's like a data point that they look at and say, like, well, how can we spend if we're only bringing in this much money? It's totally a chicken and egg thing. Like, well, shouldn't you spend so you grow the fan base again and people are buying more tickets? They're going to be, if put it this way, like, a lot of people were talking about that Kenny Rosenthal piece of maybe a month ago when they were, like, as Eric was saying, like, kind of flirting with 500. And people were like, well, why is this the time to write this kind of takedown? I think he pointed out in that piece that Mackenzie Gore is in his fourth plus major league season. He is at the exact same point in his years of control arc that Juan Soto was when they traded him. That means you've only got two more full seasons of Mackenzie Gore before he hits free agency, unless you sign him, a Boris client, to an extension. So are you prepared to make him what you've said he was, part of a good young core, and build around him? Because if you're not doing that, then you're wasting his talent and his years with you. And he, I assume, would grow frustrated with, like, look, I've been here. I've given you the early years of my development. You haven't put an effort into building a team around me other than with the other young, controllable guys. Like, why would I stay? What evidence did, you know, when they went out and they got Jason Worth or they got Max Scherzer, they were able to articulate, look, this is who we have. This is how long we have them. Even if we don't extend them, you fit here. This is our arc. Like, this is where we're going. And there's no sense, I don't get a sense that ownership and therefore the front office can't say that, because there's no, you know, no guarantee that that financial commitment is coming.
All right, I want to get you on, just touch on a couple other things while we've got you. The Terry deal, what is sort of your instinct? Are you hearing anything? Is there any reason to be concerned? Or is this kind of like a standard thing for a guy in his position who's not going to play the last year of his contract until he gets something done?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't have any particular insight other than what I'm sure you guys have knocked around. Like, you like that it's Terry McLaurin who's doing this, because I think you trust him that, like, he's not off on some island getting fat while he's not at minicamp. Like, he did this once before. It led to a deal. He was extremely happy about that deal. That deal was from an old regime. The new regime has said, this is exactly who we want to be a commander. He's the kind of tone setter that we want. They want him to be a commander for a long time. Now, is he a receiver who's going to, you know, be 30 this year? And you've got to be cognizant of that. Absolutely. But I don't get the sense. And again, this is not one where I'm super plugged in on, but I don't think the town is in a tizzy that, oh my God, they're not going to have Terry McLaurin in week one. I think they're going to have Terry McLaurin. I think the odds would say you're going to have Terry McLaurin in full pads on the first day of camp.
Right.
Hey, we just kicked down around a topic about the old uniforms coming back, the burgundy and gold from, like, let's say a decade ago. And I don't know if you're particularly passionate about it, but what do you think the organization is doing? Are they trying to walk all the way to the fine line just before a name change? Like, I don't think the name's ever coming back. A lot of people would love that. But do you think they're going to do everything to kind of get close and kind of tease the fan base?
I mean, I would think that, yes, aside from, like, you know, feathers on an Indian head. Like,
right.
I don't think they're doing that. But, I mean, it's not hard to get that color back, right?
Right.
Like, you could, I mean, that's like a subtle difference that should have never happened anyway. I don't understand what the move was to be like, they didn't have to change that color. And people know, you can say, like, oh, it's the same color. It's not the same color. Like, it looked the same. So I'm not passionate about this. I understand people that are, and you know, you are, the glory days was all under the old name and the old uniforms. And I get that. I do think, JP, you're right that, I mean, Josh Harris has said they're not going back to the name. I just, that's the part I'm passionate about is, like, let's stop talking about the old name, because it's not coming back. So that's just, like, we're wasting time. Commanders mean something more this summer than it did last summer, because Jaden Daniels has only been a commander. They went to an NFC championship game as the Commanders. Dan Quinn is just using the name that's put in front of him and said, we want people who want to be Commanders. This is a Commanders profile. Like, that's the name, and it's starting to mean something. And whether you like it or not, I just don't think they're spending much time workshopping like other names. Would this be better? And that's my other thing on it. It's here to stay.
I'm with you, Barry. This is a way you can make more money, and you can, you know, nostalgia works, right? Nostalgia concerts work. Nostalgia uniforms are going to work, and people will get fired up for it, and maybe they'll kind of tease the fan base, but they're not going to change the name.
Yeah, and also, I mean, my thing all along has been like, oh, you hate Commanders? Like, what is the name that 80% of the fans are going to be like, yep, you nailed it? I just haven't heard the one that people
Redskins. That's the only one, and they're not going to do it.
And the fact is, young people don't care. Young people are all in on Jaden Daniels and commit. They're fine with it. So it is what it is. Hey, Barry, thank you, buddy. We'll have to get you again on sooner. Don't go on vacation anymore.
I'm done with vacation, unfortunately. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Where'd he go? You saw pictures?
I don't know. It looks someplace great.
And it's tropical
just,
or?
No, it's more like, almost more like just like hanging out outside a nice house. Like, I don't know, like Connecticut or something. Like, I don't know.
Got you.
Something bougie.
Got you. We got Jimmy Patsos joining us coming up at 9:25 to talk some NBA draft. But coming up next, EB, you got a commercial break. Got to do a film study. Jeremiah Fears next here on The Junkies.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
NBA draft is tomorrow night. Wizards have the 6th pick. People were hoping they'd land the top pick, but the lottery gave them the worst possible pick they could come up with, number 6. So poop for Coop. Didn't work out for the Wizards. They were poop. They just won't get Coop. So who will they get? I know you're high on Ace Bailey, but time now for EB's film study of Jeremiah Fears.
All right, Jeremiah Fears. Of course, he's 18. Come off his freshman year at Oklahoma. 6'4". They list him at 182. He's got some good size to him. I don't know what his official like sort of measurements at the combine are. That's what they have him listed here at, 6'4". First thing that jumps out at me when I watch highlights of this guy is handles. He's got the handles. He's got the ball handling. He's got all the moves. He's got the shake. I don't have his numbers up in front of me. The one number I do remember is he only shot 28% from threes, but of course in the highlights they're all makes. He looks like he's got a great stroke. I don't see why that won't improve. But he's got everything. He's got the step backs. He's got the crossovers. He can finish at the rim with either hand. He can dunk it in your face, actually. He's a really strong finisher around the basket. He's got the floater. And of course he could pass. He can find open guys. Defensively, he seems to be somewhat active. He could jump the passing lane, create a turnover, dunk in transition. He's a really intriguing prospect. I think he's got a brother. Doesn't he also have a brother that plays? He looks like the real deal to me.
Doesn't sound like he excites you like Ace Bailey excited you. Well, I'm telling your voice.
Well, it's just because of Ace Bailey's size. I just think that the opportunity to do more is there. But I think this guy's a quality player. Like, he's for sure going to play in the league a long time. I think he's a starter in the league. I hesitate to make comparisons, but like, he kind of looks a poor man's almost like Kyrie Irving at times with some of his ball handling stuff, the step back stuff. I don't know. I mean, Kyrie is a wizard, one of the greatest of all time, so it's probably not fair to compare him to him. And he may be slightly bigger. But I just like his inside-out game. I mean, this kid's got it all. So, I mean, if they went out and drafted him, I mean, I'm not going to cry about it. I still would take Ace Bailey over him because of the size. I think gives him more potential. But I don't know, man. 89.8. He's a pretty good player. Jeremiah
Fears,
pretty good player.
Super young, so he skipped his senior year of high school.
One of these guys just get to the league right away. But he's got all the spin moves, the step backs, the wiggle, the behind the back. Like he's got it all. He plays with no fear. Can finish with either hand. Will dunk in your face. he's a pretty darn good player. He's got to improve the shooting just from a percentage standpoint. But if you look at the stroke, it looks fine. Like, he just got to rep that out.
All right, so they have Bub Carrington.
I think it just depends on need.
Both of us like Bub Carrington.
He's more dynamic than Bub. This guy's more dynamic than Bub. Bub's legit, but this guy's more, gives more star potential, I think, than Bub.
Give me an NBA comp.
I don't know. I said poor man's Kyrie Irving, but I feel kind of embarrassed saying that. Kyrie is just so good.
He's been comped to, at times, Jordan Poole, Jamal Murray, Jaden Ivey.
Okay, so yeah, those are more offensive-minded points.
Yeah. I mean,
those are good comps,
dude. He can. He's a tough finisher, but he can shoot it too. Even though he only shot 28%, it's his freshman year. I would expect that to go up. I would expect him to rep it out at the next level.
So I see on NBADraft.net their comps. I don't love, although he was a really good player back in the day. They've got Doc Rivers. You know, point guard for many, many years with the Atlanta Hawks.
Wasn't Doc more of a distributor?
I think so, yeah. And they've got Brandon Knight, who, you know, he was in the pros for a while, but wasn't great.
Yeah. I don't know. I think he's a starter in the league, for sure. It just depends on what you're looking for. I would take Ace Bailey over him because, again, I think his length and his size gives you more options and just has more star potential. But this kid's a baller for sure. I haven't looked up, like, where do they have him going? Like, where do they project him? Top 10? Pretty much everybody has him top 10.
5 to 7, probably.
Yeah.
You like this draft class.
I like his attitude.
It's not bad. Mm-hmm. It's way better than I thought. I wasn't paying attention. I thought it was all Cooper Flagg or bust. But there's actually some quality, I think. Do you agree or no?
Oh, for sure. And there's going to be some hidden gems in there.
Yeah.
Just got to find them.
Yeah, so they have most guys have him going, what, one before the Wiz?
I've seen him at 5, but I'm sure he could.
I mean, I've seen him at 5, but.
Have you seen any mocks where they have the Wiz taking him at 6?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Many.
With him and Bailey both being available, and they take him over Bailey?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They're all so young, but he's even younger having skipped a year of high school.
Mm-hmm. I think his dad was a baller on some level, at least a big-time college player. I think he's got an older brother, I think, who plays. He's a lifer. He's the real deal. I don't know. If you can't get Cooper Flagg, I'm desperate now to get Bailey.
He's your number one.
I think he's my number one of all the guys. Where did I have Trey Johnson, Valdez? I ranked him pretty high too. I like him though.
Trey was higher than Fierce.
Yeah.
You had Trey Johnson at a 92.7.
Right.
Ace is your highest at 94.6.
Thank you.
And Jeremiah Fierce is third, 89.8.
Who was second? Trey. Trey, yeah. Where do they have Trey going in, like, most of the mocks? Is Trey going in that 5 to 8 range?
Yeah, he is too.
Yeah.
You know, I referenced the latest ESPN mock draft, which our guy Jonathan Givney did with somebody else. So they have, of the guys you've done, they have Fears going number 5 to Utah. They kind of envision him as being a point guard. Then they've got Trey Johnson, number 7, going to the Pelicans. And they've got Ace Bailey, number 6. Dude. So those three guys all kind of grouped in there. And then they've got Malawach at 8. So all the guys you've done, that's basically who the Wizards are looking at.
Hey, are you
5 through 8.
Are you going to be, like, really down in the dumps if they pass on Ace?
Oh, no. I mean, I don't know, but
like
I think that,
like,
would
that's
be
your,
my
like
guy.
That's your guy.
That's my guy so far. That's my guy. But if they drafted Trey Johnson, I like him a lot too.
Yeah, they're not as high as Ace.
Ace, I just think, could be a real superstar.
I think we're still in this phase. Maybe I'm speaking for Eric, but where you have a little faith in Will Dawkins that he's going to do the right thing. Right now, I still have faith in him. You know what I mean? Like, there's no reason to knock him right now.
Like Jaden was your guy when they drafted him. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like you would have had severe disappointment if they drafted
Drake May or something,
McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
Like
he kind of liked McCarthy.
You wouldn't have McCarthy, that same too. Disappointment.
Here's the thing:
if they passed.
I do not believe that Ace Bailey was going to be available at six. I just find that impossible to believe. And if he is, I find it really hard to believe that they would pass on him.
So you would be disappointed.
I'd be disappointed if he was available and they passed on him. Yes, I would be disappointed. But I do like other guys. Put it this way: if they drafted Malawach instead, it's going to be hard to be excited about that. Malawach is like
he's not going to move the needle.
He's like a less athletic Daniel Gafford.
So if they drafted Fears or Trey and passed on Ace,
I could still get excited. I could still get excited, but not as much as I could for Ace.
What about Knipple?
Knipple's just like a solid like guy.
I think you're sleeping on him. I the more and more I'm digging into Khan, I'm getting a little size, and I did the same thing you did, dude. He's got a higher max than Cooper Flagg and Ace Bailey. His vertical, he's a faster shuttle time than Vijay Edgecombe. He gets great at like getting to the rim.
He's not the draft board.
He's not Corey Kispert where he's just going to stand out there and shoot three pointers. Khan is going to get the ball and get to the rim like McConnell did in the finals.
Yeah, listen.
He's kind of a baller.
I think he's a tough kid. He's thicker than Kispert.
Duke does not get to the Final Four without him. He was a massive player for them.
I just think him at the next level, he's a role player. That's all.
I don't know. I'm starting to warm up to him.
Yeah.
Working up a lather.
You're a Knipple guy.
I'd rather have Ace Bailey. Would you, if you had to pick between Knipple and Ace Bailey, you take a Knipple?
I don't know. I'm souring on Ace.
I don't know what's going on inside. Like what? I'm a little skeptical about like why he's dropping.
They're trying to manipulate the draft.
I'm just telling him a little skeptical.
Watch the clip of him with Giannis. I think they're working out at Georgetown, it looks like. John Thompson Jr. Okay. I think they're working down there at McDonough or whatever. He looks like a fine kid. He's taking tutelage from him in the post.
All right.
Why is he sliding?
The guy...
Because the agents
Months ago, he was supposed to be number two.
They're trying to manipulate the draft. That's all.
Maybe.
Agent shenanigans.
All right, got to take a break. We'll talk to Jimmy Patsos about this coming up at 9:25 here on The Junks.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.